Four 20-somethings with barely any money decided to throw a party during the worst economic crisis in generations. Elliot Bisnow, living in his childhood bedroom and cold-calling strangers to sell newsletter ads, invited 20 acquaintances on a ski trip to Utah. Every single person said no. Most responses ranged from polite confusion to outright dismissal. But instead of accepting defeat, Elliot had a revelation. He wasn't thinking big enough. His contacts weren't inspiring enough. This moment of universal rejection became the birth of Summit, a global community that would eventually connect thousands of entrepreneurs, artists, and thought leaders, influence policy at the White House, and culminate in the audacious purchase of an entire mountain. The lesson? Sometimes the universe's loudest no is actually pointing you toward a much bigger yes. Elliot Bisnow, Brett Lev, Jeff Rosenthal, and Jeremy Schwartz weren't bound by privilege. They were united by trust forged through shared struggle. Brett worked commission sales as the housing bubble burst. Jeremy survived touring with a punk band on $8 daily. Jeff abandoned college soccer for entrepreneurship. Elliot made cold calls from his parents' house, learning resilience through rejection. They practiced radical honesty. No idea too outlandish, no concern too small. Jeff's grandfather taught him that a large extended family is the greatest luxury in life, hosting Sunday dinners for 30-plus relatives. This philosophy shaped Summit's community approach. Their complementary skills created synergy. Brett's people-reading instincts from 12 years at his father's gas station, Jeremy's experiential event design from music touring. They established one crucial rule: unanimous agreement on major decisions. Though slower, this forced debate until everyone believed, ensuring their foundation remained unshaken, even when early events lost money and conventional wisdom declared their dreams impossible. After initial rejections, Elliot created a spreadsheet of young entrepreneurs who had built something from nothing. He strategically recruited guests, offering Ricky Van Veen and Josh Abramson of College Humor first-class tickets if Ben Lur of Thrillist could join, then convincing Joel Holland by asking who else might attend. Once Joel recommended friends, he couldn't resist joining himself. With only 20 entrepreneurs committed, Elliot secured $20,000 in sponsorships from the North Face to fund the $38,000 trip. Then his rental van got stuck in snow. As a police officer approached, guests tormented him with jail jokes. The heckling continued after receiving a ticket, an unexpected bonding experience better than anything Elliot could have planned. Entrepreneurs swapped stories about struggles and failures, forming lifelong friendships. Elliot realized perfection isn't necessary. The most important quality is space for unplanned moments that create genuine connections. Years later, when their summit at sea Wi-Fi failed 5 minutes after departure, the forced disconnection became their motto. There's no Wi-Fi where we're going, but we promise you'll find a better connection. At their Playa del Carmen event, Scott Harrison shared his transformation from nightclub promoter to humanitarian. After witnessing devastating health effects of unsanitary water in Liberia, he founded Charity Water, using his promotional skills to fund African wells. His story challenged attendees to reconsider success. Was it making money or making a difference? The event culminated in a Tom's Shoe Drop, where entrepreneurs fitted underprivileged children with new footwear. Jeff later visited Uganda, where their Invisible Children fundraising aimed to help communities affected by Joseph Kony's Lord's Resistance Army, which had abducted 30,000 children. There, he discovered warehouses of donated food sat unused while nimble entrepreneurs made real impact. UNICEF's Anne Veneman revealed that despite $1 trillion flowing into Africa over 30 years, poverty had increased. She encouraged them to leverage their network's talent rather than just fundraise. When they witnessed Haiti's devastating 2010 earthquake firsthand, toppled buildings, tent cities, overwhelming suffering, they felt helpless despite bringing supplies. This experience made them reconsider how their community could meaningfully address global challenges beyond traditional charity. Tony Shea of Zappos asked a transformative question. Are there people at this event who you wouldn't invite to your parents' home for dinner if not for their professional success? This led to two summit criteria. Do they do innovative work? Are they kind, open-minded people with a desire to grow? This philosophy drove a counterintuitive decision, scaling back their event from 1,400 to 800 people, choosing return on community over return on investment. Moving into an 18-bedroom Malibu house, they began hosting twice-weekly dinners for 100 guests, transforming it into their most powerful relationship development engine. Under Michael Hebb's guidance, each dinner centered on themes with diverse attendees creating complex conversations. Their barefoot hospitality approach made gatherings unique. Despite hosting up to 100 guests twice weekly, they had only one chef with no additional staff. They served family-style meals, asked guests to make impromptu toasts, and had everyone clean their own space afterward. These dinners featured extraordinary moments, Leslie Odom Jr. singing 4 years before Hamilton, or Radiohead's Thom Yorke spontaneously playing piano. By perfecting this format, they created a portable community-building tool, proving authentic connection matters more than polished perfection. When Elliot met venture capitalist Greg Morrow for coffee in August 2011, their scheduled hours stretched to 8 hours. Greg mentioned Powder Mountain, North America's best ski resort, now entirely for sale. Within 36 hours, they flew to Utah. The mountain, started by Dr. Alvin Kobabe in 1972 with the motto, "You're only a stranger once," was controlled by private equity, planning nearly 3,000 large houses. The founders envisioned something different: limited development with small, eco-friendly homes and a walkable village for a global community. When Greg called with news they could buy the mountain for $40 million, they seized the moment, despite having only $1 million in the bank. They created a founding member program where deposits went into escrow, released only after reaching specific milestones. Rather than PowerPoint presentations, they organized a mini event at Powder Mountain for 60 core supporters, chartering a 737 from Tahoe for an all-expenses-paid surprise destination weekend. They had 6 months to raise $20 million. Everyone declined until Matias de Tizanos immediately committed $2 million, explaining, "As an entrepreneur, nobody believes in you at the beginning when you need it most, so I'm going to be that person." With 7 days left, they created a 24-hour peace room command center. Despite chaos promised signatures vanishing for family trips, they exceeded their $20 million goal, securing over $30 million in escrow. On April 24, 2013, Elliot signed documents until his hands blistered. Afterward, the four founders collapsed on couches, too exhausted to speak. A decade producing events hadn't prepared them for master planning a town at 8,000 feet. As Summit matured, they discovered mundane behind-the-scenes work mattered as much as bold risks. They learned to slow down, trust experts, and admit weaknesses. Their personal lives evolved. Jeff, Elliot, and Jeremy met their wives through Summit. Jeff and Elliot became fathers. By 2020, Summit was thriving with sophisticated events and record revenues. Then the pandemic hit, and they approached it with a beginner's mindset. The Summit story proves life's greatest achievements emerge from audacious vision, unshakable trust, and embracing imperfection. These four friends didn't just buy a mountain, they built a movement, proving that when you make no small plans, you create space for others to dream bigger. Your mountain is waiting.